Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And we're going to be here for the month of August at 11 a.m. But before we do that, it's been a little while since I have shared something funny. Now, what I'm about to share with you, Jaden told me about 1 a.m. this morning. I told her this funny story. She didn't think it was funny, and she begged me not to share it with y'all. She's like, no one's going to think that's funny. The 9 a.m. service thought it was hilarious. And so I confronted Jade between service. She said, it's still not funny. I don't know what everyone was laughing at. And so then I hit her back with this. Only intelligent people really get that story. And then she told me that, because we had this discussion while I was warming up some Taco Bell at 1 a.m. And she said, your next series needs to be not eating Taco Bell at 1 a.m. That's what your next series needs to be about. To which I replied, I will never preach something that I'm not ready to practice. And I'm not ready to practice that. Here we go. Billy Graham was returning to Charlotte after a speaking engagement. And when his plane arrived, there was a limousine to transport him to his home. As he prepared to get in the limo, he stopped and spoke to the driver. He said, you know, I'm 87 years old and I've never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I drove it for a while? To which the driver said, no problem, have at it. Billy gets into the driver's seat and they head off down the highway. A short distance away sat a rookie state trooper operating his first speed trap. The long black limo went by him doing 70 miles an hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. The trooper pulled out, easily caught the limo, got out of his patrol car, went and began the procedure. As the trooper walked up to the driver's door, when the glass rolled down, he was surprised to see none other than Billy Graham was driving the limo. He immediately excused himself, went back to his car, and called his supervisor and said, I know we're supposed to enforce the law, but I also know that important people are given certain courtesies, and I need to know what I should do, because I've stopped a very important person. The supervisor asked, is it the governor? The young trooper said, no, he's more important than that. The supervisor said, oh, it must be the president. The young trooper said, no, he's even more important than the president. The supervisor finally asked, well, then who is it? The young trooper said, I'm pretty sure it's Jesus, because he's got Billy Graham driving his car as his chauffeur. In your face, Jaden, wherever you are. Two for two. Let's all just go home. End on a high note. Now, we're going to end on a really high note, the Word of God. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It's good to have fun in church, right? Amen. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We're going to fast forward to verse 17, and we will complete all of this over the next 3 or 4 weeks. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now let's go to 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Let me say that again. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to hear, better than the fat of rams or religious tradition. We are beginning our series simply titled Jonah, but the subtitle is Running From, Running To, and Revival For. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, run like Jonah. You may be seated. Years ago, before the UFC took off to rise to a prominent fighting league, it was a male-dominated sport. Before names like Holly Holmes and Ronda Rousey and these other great women fighters came onto the scene and have now main evented these big events in Vegas and other areas, there was a very sexist comment that people used to say if you couldn't fight. They would say, you fight like a girl. And then Ronda Rousey comes on the scene and starts knocking people out, choking people out, breaking people's jaw. And she took that statement that was meant as a slight and started putting it on T-shirts. Because she was saying, I know that in the past, other people have looked at the way that girls fight as something that is less than. But I've risen the level of fighting for all women. And so now fight like a girl is not a diss. Fight like a girl has become a mantra for young ladies. Come on, women. Nobody fights like a woman. Nobody prays like a woman. Nobody worships. Come on, men. Nobody fights like a man. Nobody worships like a man. It becomes a mantra. So when you first look at run like Jonah, and I hardly ever talk about our hashtags, but if you're using social media, we want you to use these hashtags because it is something that you can search later on and see what everybody got out of the sermon. But run like Jonah. Now, on the surface, we are taught from young kids in Sunday school and VBS, we don't want to run like Jonah because we look at how he started. Can I just tell you, it's not always how you start, it's how you finish. And Jonah was running away from God at the beginning. But at the end of this story, he is running to purpose and to God. And so when we say run like Jonah, we're not talking about the beginning of it. We're talking about how he ends up. He is running towards. And this is the thing. It's not if you run. It's not how you run. It's the direction you run. When you run away from something, it is because of fear. When you run towards something, it is because of purpose. Some of us run away from the voice of God. Some of us run away from the plan of God because we are scared of it, and so we run. But then there's some of us that we have been built up by faith, or we've been coming to a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church like Living Way long enough to where we don't cower in the corner anymore. We're not shy to embrace the things of God, but we take the plan of God, the purpose of God. We stand on the Word of God. We operate in faith and say, God, if you called me to it, I don't care how big it is. If that's the vision for my life, you can count on me to run to it, not away from it. My hat's off to all of our first responders, EMS, all of our police, all of our firefighters, all of our military personnel, because you are the ones that when gunshots ring out, you don't hide behind things. You run towards danger. When fires break out in buildings, everybody's running out, but you're running in. We need believers in 2021 that will not run from the adversary, that will not run from a fight, that will not run from a call. But when Jesus shows up and he gives a word and he gives a declaration and he gives a command, we say, God, we are reporting for duty. If you need me to go there, I'll go there. If you want me to do that, I'll do that. I know, God, if it's your will, I'm your man. I'm your woman. Jonah gets a bad rap because of how he starts. Aren't you glad, church, that we're not judged by how we start? Aren't you glad, church, that we're not judged by the mistakes we make in the middle? But at the end of the process, the finish line that we cross, where God has called us to be, that place of purpose when we realize it, that God is waiting on us there and he's not holding our past, or not holding us accountable by our past. There's four words that God brought to me as I was preparing for this series. I believe these words contain the goal for us as we unpack the book of Jonah. The first is running. We've talked a little bit about that. Which direction are you running? For you football fans, and football season is about to start here in a few weeks, and I know a lot of you are excited. Cowboys fans, let's temper our expectations. Every year, I think this is the year we're going back to the Super Bowl. Quit saying that. Quit saying that. You say, I'm using faith. Use your faith on something that's important. That's not important. Well, I've been praying about it. Why are you praying about that? I'm gambling. Well, don't pray about your gambling habit. Pray against it, not for it. But football's about to start. One thing that I never played football, but one thing I've watched enough football, heard enough coaches, that when the running backs get the ball, they always talk, run north to south, not east to west. Because what they're saying is you're going to exert just as much energy going this way, not gaining any ground, when you could be running this way. Can I just tell you, church, if you're going to expend the energy – If you're going to worship, if you're going to operate in faith, if you're going to have hope, if you're going to make a stand, make sure you are running toward where God has called you to be. Make sure you are running toward. Make sure that you are leading your family, your friends, your community towards Christ and not away from Him. Which direction are we running? Second word is respond. How do we respond to the Word of God? See, we as a church, you have people all around you that you'll hear somebody say amen when something's preached. That's right. Somebody might even say ouch. Somebody might say move along. Somebody might say, hey, are we going to still make our dinner reservation? I don't know what they shout out. I remember I was at a youth conference one time, and the preacher was up there asking rhetorical questions. Who says you can't be great? Who says you can't do great things? And one of the kids on like the fourth row was like, we say those things. I say that about me all the time. I'm thinking, man, somebody needs to shut this kid up. How he responds to the Word of God, it dictates where he's going to go. Can I tell you that we will never be at a loss for the Word of God, whether it's a spoken word, whether it's the Spirit giving us a discerning word, or whether it is the written word. You will always have access to the Word of God, and what you and I do with the Word of God determines how far we're going to go in life, how fast we will achieve purpose, and will we be able to make the mark that God has created us to make. The third word is responsibility. That word still puts a lot of pressure on me, responsibility. Do we understand as believers that we have a responsibility, that we have been won by Christ, and now it's our job to win other people to Christ? That God has done something in us, and now it's our turn to reach behind us and say, look at what the Lord has done in my life, and He wants to do the same in you. Could it be that God's biggest plan for your life is not bigger bank accounts and bigger and better automobiles? Could it be to unload hell and to load up heaven? Could it be that He puts you on that job not to just make six figures a year, but so that the entire floor that you work on can be exposed to the Jesus Christ that you serve? Could it be that the reason God brought you into that family and you've been talking about your in-laws instead of witnessing to your in-laws? You've been running your mouth about your family instead of being a testimony to your family, saying, God, if you need a Jonah to go to that city, if you need a Jonah to go to that family, I'm right here. I'll go. Send me. I'll run to it, not away from it. We've got a responsibility. And number four, revival. The world is waiting on us to unleash revival. You say, what does that mean? Watch the local news tonight. You'll see story after story after story that can be fixed with only one thing, and His name is Jesus Christ. You realize we serve a Jesus that can make COVID non-existent? Not just in your body, in everybody. I'm talking about all 8 billion of us. Do you know and realize that we serve a God that can go to every psychiatric ward and people that are double-minded and people that are bipolar and people that have all of these disorders, that He can empty out buildings and restore and revive and heal and give them the mind of Christ? Do you realize we serve a God that just you showing up at the hospital, you can empty out complete floors? That's the kind. We need Jonahs that are not running away from it. As a young preacher, when people would come to the altar with physical limitations, the devil would start messing with my mind. And I knew I was going to lay hands and pray for him. And the devil would start saying, what if he doesn't get out of the wheelchair? What if she doesn't receive her miracle? Can I encourage you? What if in that connotation is fear? Jesus came to flip the script. And as a mature, almost 40-year-old pastor and a believer that's been walking with God now for 2+ decades, it's no longer, Sister Tanya, what if he doesn't? My what ifs have turned to faith. And now when I lay hands, what if? he gets out of that wheelchair today? What if blinded eyes are open? What if HIV is healed? What if cancers dry up and dissolve? What if that spouse hits the back door before the service is over? What if prodigals show up before 12:30? When God shows up, we will have to have four services to fill this building. We need Jonas to run to it, not away from it. Quit running from, start running to, and realize there's a revival for this generation. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Jonah is a short book in the Bible with just a handful of chapters, but the very first word, the very first statement, the very first verse of Jonah is the word came unto Jonah. Can I tell you, if your starting place in life is anywhere but the word of God, you are setting yourself up for failure. The word of God is the beginning. The word of God is the end. John 1:1, Jesus said, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I start with the word. In the middle is the word. On bad days, it's the word. Bad news gets the word. Celebration days, I proclaim the word. Times I need a miracle, I proclaim the word. And I'll end it with the word. But unless you start with the word, you set yourself up for failure. I don't know if I can make this move. What does God say? And can I just tell you, and y'all know how I feel about this. I'm not going to get on my soapbox about it. But can I tell you, you don't need a prophet. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost to talk to you. I'm not saying God cannot use men and women. I believe that he does. I believe in isolated instances he will use men and women to speak into your life. But every man or woman of God that has ever prophesied in my life, guess what they prophesied? The word of God. Now, if they prophesied and confirmed the word in me, that means at 2 p.m. on a Monday afternoon, I could get that same word from the throne room of heaven, discerned in my spirit by the Holy Ghost, and I don't have to wait till next Sunday to come get a word. Why? Because I serve the word. I love the word. I talk to the word and he talks back. And when I read the Bible reads me, tells me what I need to do. And boom, now I've heard a word from God and I make my decisions based on where I start. Based on where I start. Kudos to this couple right here. How many days is it till we're married? I haven't checked Facebook today. 18 days? 19 days. 19 days, they're going to be married. I appreciate their approach to marriage. Because you know what they did? First thing they did was, when can we get premarital counseling? And we don't just show you videos. And we don't do premarital counseling with 100 people in the room with some doctor up there that's never met you. We got the prophetess resident, pit bull resident, pastoral team, Tammy Green and Kevin Green, that are going to dig into your life. You better come with the closet open, because she will beat down the closet door and drag every skeleton out. You say, why is that important? Because it's how you're starting your marriage. Quit planning a wedding only and not planning a marriage. Your wedding is for 2 hours. Your marriage is supposed to be for a lifetime. And too many of us are not starting our marriage, our family, our business, our life, our day on the word of God. If you leave your house without talking to God, you better go back in and talk to him before you get in your car. Why? Because God's word is going to tell you something about your purpose for that day and beyond. We start with the word of God. We start with the word of God. The word came unto Jonah. Great news, there will never be a day where you and I do not have access to the word of God. I hate when people do this to me, but I'm going to do it to you. Spoiler alert, if you have not watched the book of Eli, you're going to want to put your fingers in your ear or you're going to want to leave the building. I know it's been out for 10 or 12 years, but some of y'all are late to the party. It's an incredible movie. The movie goes on and you have no idea where it's going. I really am going to spoil the movie if you haven't seen it. Sorry. And books have become at an all-time value. Every book has been destroyed or they have all been put in one place on the earth. The apocalypse has happened. It is a very dark movie. There's not a lot of smiling, not a lot of happy things going on. It is a dark movie, but there is a man that is going through all of, and he's searching for a book, and that book is the Bible. At the end, we find out that Eli is blind. And the last scenes of that movie is him laying on a couch, quoting the Bible, word for word, while somebody else writes it out. Can I tell you that if we live long enough, we might live long enough to see Bibles outlawed in the great states of America. We might live long enough where they say you can't have a Bible at your job and maybe not one in your house. We might live long enough for them to make Bible apps illegal, but I am here to tell you that you and I have a Bible that is written on our hearts. David said it like this in 119th Psalm, I have hidden the word of God in my heart so that I would not be disconnected and sin against God. I am here to tell you, more than just memorizing it to memorize it, you write it on the tablets of your heart so that if the Bible is never in your hands or never an option to read, you've got it in your brain, in your spirit, on your heart, and you can live it out still. Starts with the word. Starts with the word. When you get up, read a verse. Meditate on that all day long. You say, well, if you're like me, you're a night owl. You like to study at night, but you need to start your day. You're starting your day on the word. Mondays are important. See, Sundays, this is really the first day of the week. Tomorrow's the first day of the work week. Today, you're starting your week off in the word. Tomorrow, you're going to start your work week in the word. You're about to send your kids to school. Make sure they start. Well, they don't like it. You read it to them. You ask them questions. You get audible. Man, we live in a great era. You can have James Earl Jones read you the Bible. That's amazing to me. You can have that soothing voice reading you the Gospels. Put it on. Start your day. Start off in the word. Gina and Sean are building a house like 2 miles from here. I want everybody to do what they do. I want everybody to sell their houses and move within 2 miles of the church. We'll have church all the time. It'll be great. Just a few weeks ago, we prayed over a Bible because it was the day before they were pouring their foundation. They wouldn't put their Bible in the foundation, right where that front door is going to be, where they're going to walk. What are they doing? If we're building a house, we're going to build it on the word. I believe Matthew 7 talks about that firm foundation. That when the rain, not if, when the rain comes, when the wind blows, when it gets crazy, that house that is built on the firm foundation, the solid rock, the word of God, he said, that's wise. That house will stand the test of time. And the part that irks a lot of people about that verse is not it says if it rains, but when it rains. Not if it floods, when it floods. Can I just tell you, if you live 6 months on this earth, you're going to have some floods. And some of us now are into fourth and fifth and sixth decades of our life. We've seen some stuff. We've seen some dark valleys. We've seen some cancer. We've seen some things that we don't like. But guess why we're still standing? Because we started with a word from God. And that word, even when I wanted to let it go, that word would not let go of me. That word would not let go of me. The word came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. I love when I go to the word and I learn something new. I went to the Hebrew for the word Amittai. That is Jonah's father. Amittai means two words that the woke culture uses all the time. And those two words are this: my truth. So Jonah's name is, he is the son of my truth. Can I just tell you, if your truth is not the truth, your truth doesn't matter. My truth doesn't matter. The problem with truth is your truth is ever evolving. You said, prove that. Listen to every politician when they're running for the office, whether it's mayor, governor, or president. They're going to say things in October and November to get elected, and then you're going, in March or April, you're going to hear things and watch YouTube videos of what they said on the campaign trail, and now they've made an about face. Why? Because they let popular opinion, they let pop culture, they let the majority
rule there and change their truth. When you said yes to Jesus, your truth and my truth, little t, bow down to the big T truth that Jesus said, I am the truth. If your truth is what you're founded on, it will not work. It will not last. But when it is founded on, this is where Jonah is at in his life. He said, I'm used to a different truth. And when the word of God showed up, he said, that's a truth that I've not been exposed to. That's a truth that I'm not ready for. That's a truth that I've never heard before. And so he ran from it instead of embracing it and learning it. How many people in 46 years have left Living Way when we started speaking in tongues? Sister Chris, I was telling Jaden about your mom last night because I watched some of your live, and I love what you're doing. I love what you're using social media to do. And Sister Chris, you're not really tall, but your mom was even shorter. And in that old building, she would run. And her little legs, I mean, they were like this long. She'd run. Sister Aurora Alonzo, she run that building. And I remember as a kid, I thought it was awesome. Like the Energizer Bunny. Man, she would just run and run. It's a lot smaller building. Man, we moved in this building, we found out who the real athletes were. Because they ran around, and then they tried to act like it was the Holy Ghost halfway through, and they get up halfway up that aisle and be like, don't bring God into your fatigue. You just got tired. But I remember when Sister Aurora would start running, when Brother Lauren would start running, when Sister Alita would start running, people would leave. They'd leave the church. Brother Christopher Burke, not in this building, the old building, would stand right in front. He would do standing backflips during praise and worship. You think we're wild now? You ain't seen nothing yet. But you start speaking in tongues. Automatically, there are some of you that are uncomfortable when I do this. Other people are inspired. Other people start speaking their gift. Other people start speaking in tongues. But there's some of you that get a little, I don't know about that. This is what I've learned. What we don't know about, we either refuse to learn about and run, or we choose to disparage. That's not real. There's no need for that. They can't do that in the church. And we leave instead of saying, hey, when you were speaking in tongues, what's that all about? Let me tell you something. If something is happening at Living Way that you don't agree with and that you don't see why we're doing it, come talk to me, talk to Tammy, talk to Brother Michael. We will take you to the Bible and show you in the New Testament where they did that. And if you have a problem with what they did in the Bible, I don't know how to help you. But we want to teach you that when we lift our hands, there's a reason we lift our hands. When we shout for joy, there's a reason we shout. There's a reason why I lift my voice. The Bible even said when Jesus taught, he lifted his voice. He cried with a loud voice. Why do you lay hands on? It's in the New Testament. Why do you speak in tongues? It's in the New Testament. Do you really believe God can heal? It's in the New Testament. It started with the Word. It started with the Word. It started with the Word. And I could go to every dead church in San Antonio and march my behind down at the end of their service and say, why are you quiet? Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you talk about tithing? Why don't you talk about the blood of Jesus? Why don't you talk about the Holy Ghost? When was the last time somebody got healed here? When was the last time you cast out a devil? And when they start running backwards, say, it's in the book. Why aren't you living that way? Bishop said something. I don't even know what time it is. That's the good thing about series. We got the rest of the year. Bishop said something. Bishop is Bishop, y'all. Y'all need to listen to Wednesday night service. Bar none, one of the greatest revelations. Just dropped it, boom, Wednesday night. But Bishop's always like, he could say more in like 6 words than I could say in 6,000 words. And I literally just sit there and just shake my head. Like, he's just been, like, blowing my mind the last 2 or 3 weeks. We don't talk, like, for 30 minutes on the phone. It's, like, a minute here, or I'll stop by his office for 2 minutes, and boom, he's just dropping it. But I love what Bishop said a few months ago, maybe a couple years ago, is he said, I remember you seeing you at the upper room talking about spirit-filled believers that used to be tongue-talking. He said, I remember seeing you at the upper room. Why did you leave? Here's the thing. We love to talk about the 380 people that left before the Spirit was given. They're like our whipping boys and our whipping girls, like, oh, shame on you. You couldn't wait. You know what's worse than that? The ones who were in the room got filled with the Holy Ghost and then outgrew. Because they got woke. Because culture said, you speak in tongues, you go to that holy roller church. Come on, some of you should wear this. And the next time somebody says, why do you love your church? I love your church because we still speak in tongues. We still believe in miracles. We still believe that God's word is true and that everybody else can be a liar. It starts with the word. Turn to your neighbor, stand on your feet. Tell them it starts with the word. This is like half a page in. This might be like a 40-week series. I don't know. His truth, it overrides our truth. The son of my truth. Jonah has a moment, church, to embrace the word of God. But because that word is different than what he grew up with, he chooses to run away from. Instead of running to. Now, I'll spoil the series for you. If you read the story of Jonah, it all works out. Jonah goes and preaches like a man on fire. And Nineveh, things change and things happen. But getting him to that point, he refuses to embrace God's word. Can I tell you, turn off Fox News. If you need to delete social media, delete social media. Somebody was telling me the other day, they said, I can't stand being on Facebook because all the trash. And I stopped them with one phrase. I said, you added all of those friends. Those are your friends. Those are your squad. You said, well, I keep getting all these other posts. You can hide them. You can actually click, never send me something from this person again. So don't complain about the wiles of social media when Sister Chris is preaching Jesus on her. Get her as a friend. Drop the knucklehead that you used to bump in the clubs with and get somebody that says, hey, God, if you're calling a Jonah, I'm ready. I'm ready to run. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do something. But get rid of all that garbage so that God's voice is so clear. This is the thing. This is the thing. If in its simplicity, church, if God tells me to do it, my answer should always be a quick and a loud yes. But sometimes, is it God? Is it not God? Is that my flesh? You always compare what he spoke, what you're hearing, to what was written in the word. What's the Holy Spirit saying? God is needing three letters, one word from you today, and it's a yes. I'm preaching about a lot of things, but I didn't get to it today, but we'll get to it next week. But this is a Jesus call. This is a not, I want you to go to Nineveh. This is, I want you to follow me to Nineveh. I want you to follow me with your life, with your heart, with your voice, with your life. Purpose is in front of us. Our calling, what we are anointed for, is in front of us. 2 million people in San Antonio, and I'm tired of trading members with other churches. The crackhead not 10 miles from here needs Jesus. I don't want another tither from another church. Leave them there. The 14-year-old girl who just found out she's pregnant. The 6-year-old girl who's being molested by an uncle. The Muslim that is now questioning their faith. That's who we want. That's Nineveh. That's San Antonio. They deserve a Jonah that will not waste time running. They deserve a Jonah that says, God, I've heard from you. And I'll weep for my city. I'll reach for my city. I'll pray for my city. But God, I'll get up from where I'm at and I will go to my city. Church. So many churches have become something that we were never destined to be. Some churches have made it ugly. But my goal for Living Way, as a pastor, and hear my heart, is to do whatever we have to do to reach as many people for Jesus as we can. Not to dilute the word of God, not to dilute the power and presence of God, but let there be a demonstration every time that these doors are open. And whether it's in jeans or a suit, whether the lights are up or the lights are down, whether the video wall is bright or it's non-existent, God, let every time the doors are open, let the Jonas rise up, God. Let the young men and young women, God, let them get vision. Let the old men and women have dreams. But pour out your spirit, God. And God, those that come that don't know you, God, let us not do anything that would injure, God, their chance at a faith-filled life. God, already in this altar, one word, three letters, changing everything. Yes. I met Gavin. I still remember his name. I'm getting better at names. I met Gavin 1 month ago at New Members Class. And I talked to him a couple times at VBS. Gavin, can I tell you that God's got a great plan for you? That even though you're young, your age doesn't matter. God can use you now. You're getting ready to go to school. Guess what? God's going to use you to do great things. You're going to be a great friend. You're going to be a light. You're going to be a testimony. Even at a young age, Gavin, you're going to do great things for God. Doesn't matter your gender today. Doesn't matter your age, your color. Doesn't matter if it's your first time here or you've been here for 15 years. God is looking for Jonas that are not going to run away from, but will run headlong into the city that God has called them to. And if God could call one man to a city, I know he can call you to your family. I know he can call you to your coworkers. This is our moment, Jonah. I'm not running away. I'm running to. If you're in this house today and you've never said yes to Jesus, now is your moment. This is your